Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
So, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Daf Nun Gimel. We're beginning a new perek on Nun Beis Amud Beis, towards the bottom. It says the Mishnah, Ketzad Ma'arben HaSa'arim. How are we meant to do Ibur to a city? So, speaking about establishing the municipal borders of a town, so we can go ahead and create the territory, the tchum, around the municipal boundary of the city. Now, not all cities have borders which are straight lines. You have perhaps a house that's sticking out. You have protrusions of all types. So the Mishnah will tell us that we're meant to extend the boundary of the city up until the point of that protrusion. Ketzad ma'abrin asarim. So Ashi says, ma'abrin is like an expectant woman, which is an extension of the person. Likewise, a city has an extension, meaning that the boundaries are meant to extend up until they're equal to the protrusions, which are extending beyond the boundaries of the city. It says the Mishnah, Ketzad ma'abrin asarim. Bayis nichnas, bayis yotze. If you have a house going in, a house going out, there's no wall around the city, it's surrounded by houses. So you have one going in, one going out. It's in a zigzag. Or pogam nichnas, pogam yotze. If you have a wall, but the wall has watchtowers, lookouts, and it's pogam nichnas, pogam yotze, meaning there's a protrusion going in, going out. It's not a straight line, rather, it's like a zigzag. Or hoyisham gdudiyos kvoyos asar tfachim. You had some wall remnants there, some structural remnants which were 10 tfachim high, which were protruding out of the city. Or you have the ugshorim, these bridges, or nefashis, these matzeves on the kever sheyeshbam beis dira, going back to the bridges which have a beis dira, perhaps a hut for the tax collector, for the toll collector. So they have a place of dwelling. So in all these cases, what do? How do we set the boundaries of a city? Muitzina samida kenegdan. We take the mida, the measurement, we delineate the boundary of the city, connect them opposite those protrusions. So for instance, if you have one side of the city, let's say the east of the city, which has on one side of it a house sticking out, and this protrusion is not present on the other side of the east boundary of the city. Nevertheless, we take a straight line from the protrusion and mark it straight down all along the east side of that city. So we envision as though the city extends, the east side of that city extends all the way to where the protrusion is. So we are mighty the midah connector, opposite that protrusion, that becomes the boundary of the city. Continues the Mishnah. Va'oisin oisan k'mintavim l'rabah. This is another factor. Let's say we have a round city. We don't measure a tchum from the circle of the city. Rather, we form it into a square tray. We box it. We create straight angles around the city. We have four corners of 90 degree angles around that city. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a square. Perhaps it's a rectangle. The point is we create straight lines around that city, even if it's a round city. Kadeshi Niska says obvious. So that he gains the benefits from those corners, which you've created around that round city. So it's really supposed to be a round city with a round tchum around it, giving you a radius of 2,000 amma. Rather, we work with a square. We create a box around that city. So he's going to gain because the corners are not really inhabited, but are considered to be part of the city. And then the 2,000 amma are drawn beyond that square, beyond that box. So in two things in our mission, number one, regarding establishing the actual municipal boundaries of the town itself, we work with the furthest point, with the farthest protrusion, and we create a box around that. We draw a straight line along the protrusion. And Rashi points out that provided the protrusion was was within 70, about 70 amos in the city, as we're going to learn later in the Gemara. That's number one. Number two, when it comes to actually creating this, forming the shape of the city, which will serve the basis of the tchum beyond it, we're meant to envision it like a square, like a box, like a rectangle, and then measure the tchum beyond that. And this gives him some extra space in the corners. She'niskar es hazavius. We learn this from the Gemara later, Psukim. Cities are meant to be established as boxes, as squares, straight angles, when it comes to measuring the tchum. Continues the Gemara. So we began with Ketzad Ma'abrin Esa'arim. So Rashi tells us that Ma'abrin is a lashon of Ish Ubar, like an expectant woman. Likewise here, we're extending the city opposite those protrusions. Now I actually have a machlekes between Rav Ushmo Chad Toni Ma'abrin. One spelled it with an ayin, Ma'abrin. V'chad Toni Ma'avrin. The other one spelled it with an aleph. Explains the more. Man the Toni Ma'avrin, aver aver. Ma'avrin is like a limb, because these are limbs coming out of the city. Uman the Toni Ma'avrin, the other one who had the ayin, kishu bara, like an expectant woman. On account of this machlekes, the Gemara brings several other machlekes between Rav and Shmuel regarding precise spelling and meaning of words. Mar Samach Pela, a double K which was used by Avraham Avinu to bury Sarah. We have machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. Chad Amar Shnei Batim, Zelifni Mezeh. There were two rooms, one inside the other. That's why it was called Mar Samach Pela. V'Chad Amar, the other one said, Bayis V'Ali Al Gabav. It was actually a two-floored cave. Bishlami Laman Damar Zeh Al Gav Zeh. So it's understood, according to the one who says it was a double-floored cave, Hainu Machpelah. That's why it was called Machpelah, a double cave. El Laman Damar Shni Batam Zeh Lefni Mezeh. However, according to the other approach, that it was merely due to the fact that it had two rooms. My Machpelah. Why Machpelah? That's called a double cave, just because it had two rooms. Says the Gemara, Shechfula Bezugais. The reason why it was called Machpelah, because it was full of bezugos, it contained, it accommodated many couples. As Morrison will tell us, it had Adam v'Chava, Avram v'Sara, etc. As we learn from the Pasuk of Mamre Kiryas Arb, which was the description of Chevron, it was a place which had four. What does that mean? On Rabbi Yitzchak Kiryas, it was a town that had Ha'arba Zugos, accommodated four couples who were buried there. Which were the four couples? Adam v'Chava, Avram v'Sara, Yitzchak v'Rivka, Yaakov v'Leah. So that's why it was called Kiryas Arba, on account of these four couples who were buried there. The pasuk says, "Vayhibi me'am Rafal." This was when the war broke out in the time of Ram Avinu. So the pasuk begins describing the story with the days. It was in the days of Amraphel, or some king. So we have machlekes regarding the precise meaning of this word, of this pasuk. Rav Shmuel. His true name was Nimrod. Why then was he called Amraphel? On account of his actions. She'amar, because he instructed Vihipul Avraham Avinu b'tachkiv sh'neish. And he threw Avraham Avinu, he instructed them to throw Avraham Avinu into the burning furnace. So his true name was Nimrod. Amraphel is an account of what he did. Amar Vihipul. That's one approach. V'chad Amar, the other one holds, actually, Amraphel Shmoy. That was his true name. V'lom Nikr Shmoy Nimrod. Why was he called Nimrod? Due to his actions. Shehimrid Eskolayim Kuloy Olav Malchusay. Because he brought the whole world to rebel against Hashem's kingdom. We have another Machlekes Rav and Shmuel regarding the Pasuk of Ayokim Melech Chadash HaMitzrayim. So a new king got up and began his reign in Mitzrayim. We have Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Chad Omar Chadash Mamash. He was actually a new king. V'chad Omar, he wasn't new. Rather, Shinas Chashuk Zeroysev, his decrees were renewed. Ma'ad Omar Chadash Mamash, the Shita says he was actually a new king. Why? Dechsev Chadash. It says, V'ekam El Chadash. Do you know only that he was indeed a new king? U'ma'ad Omar Shinas Chashuk Zeroysev. Now, what is the Raya of the Shita that says that he wasn't actually a new king, but his Gzeros were renewed? What's his proof? Medleksev, because we don't find that the Pasuk says, V'yamas, V'yimlech. That one king died and the other one took over. Apparently, it was one and the same person. According to the view that his gzeres were renewed, but he was one and the same fellow, he was still the same old pari. Doesn't the pasuk say that he was unfamiliar with Yosef? Now, if he was the same pari as the one during the time of Yosef, why didn't he know Yosef? Says the Gemara, what does that mean? He wasn't familiar with Yosef, Davadomi, he presented himself, Kiman de la Yodale Yosef Klal, as though he wasn't familiar with Yosef. It was just a pretense, but certainly he knew Yosef very well. Continues the Gemara, Om Rav Yechna, Yudches Yomim Gidalti, Eitzel Rav Yoshia Beribi. I spent 18 days with Rav Yoshia, the great one, who was the great one in his generation. And the only thing I managed to learn from him throughout this entire period was Eladavar Echad Mishnah Seinu. Only one thing pertaining to our Mishnah, how I meant to spell the word Ma'abrin. Ketad Ma'abrin is Arim Ba'alef. Meant to use an Aleph. So it was worth the entire effort just for this one bit of information. Says Ma'eni, is that so? He only learned one thing. Va'amar B'yechanan, Yud Beis Talmidim, Ha'iloi Rav Yoshia B'Revi. He had 12 Talmidim. V'yudches Yomim Gidalti Minein, I spent 18 days amongst them. V'lamadati Leiv Kalechad V'Echad, and I was able to discern the heart, the analytical abilities of each and every one of those Talmidim. V'chochmas Kalechad V'Echad, and their intellectual abilities. So apparently he learned much more than just one thing. Says the Gemara, Leiv Kalechad V'Echad, V'chochmas Kalechad V'Echad, Gomar. He discerned their abilities, their capacity, that he was able to see. But Gemara Le Gomar. But in actuality, he never learned anything concrete, any halacha, any Gemara, aside from that thing regarding the Ketzad Ma'abrin. Everybody same on Alipshat. Minayu did who Gomar? He learned much from them. But Minayu did hey Le Gomar. But from Yeshiva Rebbe himself, the Rebbe, he actually only managed to learn one thing. He learned many things pertaining to brises, to gemaras, but only one thing pertaining to a Mishnah. When we would learn Torah by Rabbi Yoshua B'Rebbe, we would crane ourselves, we would squeeze ourselves to get close to him, to listen to his Torah. We would station ourselves four people in each amma. Amar Rabbi, kshayinu loyim in Torah, shal Lezer ben Shamua. When we would learn Torah by Lezer ben Shamua, hayinu yoshvin shisha shisha b'amma. We would sit six together, even in one amma, a small, tiny area. Mashal says it was a ma'asa nisim, it was a miracle. For Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yoshia b'ribe b'dayri. Rabbi Yoshia b'ribe, in his generation, so surpassed the capacity of his colleagues, just like Kurameya Bedur, as Rameya was greater than his colleagues in his generation. Ma Rameya Bedur, just as Rameya in his generation, Lo Yochlu Chaberov, Lamedes of Daita, you're so deep that his friends couldn't comprehend the depth of his positions. Af Rabbi Yoshia, likewise Rabbi Yoshia, Lo Yochlu Chaberov, Lamedes of Daita, they couldn't comprehend the depth of his shita, of his opinions. But Rabbi Yechanan, there's such a contrast between the abilities of the former generations and our current generation. Liban shel rishonim, the hearts, the capacity, the analytical abilities of the former generations, their hearts were so wide. Kipitza shel ulam, like the width of the Pesach of the ulam, which was 20 amas wide. Shel achroinim, in contrast to the later generations, whose capacities have diminished to such a great extent, kipisul shel eichel, half the size, it's equated to the opening of the heichel, which is merely 10 amas wide. V'anu, and we are kimle nekev machad sidkis. Our hearts have become so constricted, our abilities so limited, merely like the pinel, kimle nekev, like the pinel of the machad sidkis, this thin sewing needle used to repair cracks in clothing. So it's a thin needle with a small pinhole. That's how constricted our hearts are. Says more Rishonim Rabbi Akiva. Who was he referring to when he said the Rishonim, the early generations of Rabbi Akiva? Achroinim, the latter ones, are Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. You could amr some have a different approach. Rishonim was Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. Achroinim, Rabbi Yoshia b'Ribi. Va'anu. And we, us, is Rabbi Yechanan speaking, we're so small, kemaloi nekav, machat sitkis, like the pinhole of the sewing needle. Amrabai. He describes it a bit differently regarding the diminished capacity of the later generations. Va'anan, when it comes to learning and to grasping Torah, ki sichsa beguda legemara, we created like a peg, like a nail being driven into a wall with much difficulty till it gets in there. That's how hard it is for us to comprehend learning. It's hard for us to understand and comprehend it. Amarava, when it comes to svara, to analyzing and delving into the depth of the true meaning of the Torah, this is how it's described. Vanan by us, ki adz ba'asa bekiru l'svara. When it comes to svara, we have difficulty. It's very difficult, like the finger, like the etzba'asa, being driven into a hard piece of wax. So it doesn't get in too easily. Likewise, we have a very difficult time truly comprehending the depth, the true meaning of the Torah. Amar Rav Asher, when it comes to memory, look at this. Anan kets ba'asa b'biru l'shikha. When it comes to shikha, we're like a finger going in and out of a pit, just slides in and out easily. That's how quickly the Torah just gets forgotten for us. We had a hard time retaining and remembering the Torah. Tosfos brings a different pshat. He says, kets ba'asa b'bizri. Like a person who puts his finger into mustard seed. So he creates this little hole there, but as soon as he pulls out his finger, the seeds just go back in their place. So likewise, when we learn one mesechta, we begin another mesechta, we immediately forget the first mesechta. So that's how limited we are, and we're meant to take these limited capacities and our restricted talents and plug away and learn with our keiches. Amar Rabbi Amrav. We have the Bnei Yehuda, we have the Bnei Gol. People lived in different vicinities in Eretz Yisrael. So there was a difference between the two. Bnei Yehuda was successful in their learning, Bnei Gol were not. The Gemara explain why. Bnei Yehuda shekpidu al lashonim. They were makpid on their wording, on their diction, to speak clearly, articulately. As a result of that, niskaima terasam biyodim. The Torah was retained by them. They were able to keep their Torah. Bnei Galil, Shalai Kibidah L'Shayna. Contrast to the people living in Galil, who are not very careful with their diction and their mode of speech. They would mumble and weren't very careful with their choice of words. When the Skaima Surasam Biyadam, as a result, the Torah was not properly retained by them. Says the Gemara, why are these two things related? Midi Bikpeda Talimusa. Retention of Torah is dependent on being particular with choice of words. Why? Ella rather as follows. Bnei Yehuda did daiki lishna. The Bnei Yehuda who paid attention, close attention to the precise wording of the Torah which was taught to them. And that enabled them to create simanim, formulas to remember the Torah, because it was so clearly articulated in their minds. They had the wording so clear. Umas nechilu simana. And they would place simanim to remember the Torah. As we find many times in Shas, that the Gemara says Siman. Like right here in our Amud, we have further back up, the second wide line, we have Siman Shmoyne Esrei Shneim Asar. So we find many times the Gemara would string together different halachas, different stories, using just a few choice words. So that one could grab the many halachas in that manner. It helps a person commit it to his long-term memory. So in any case, the Bnei Yehuda, who were very wordy, very particular and medaic in the halachas, in the words of the halachas that they were taught by the Rebbeim, this allowed them to apply these formulas, the simanim, in order to remember it. Niskaim etorasim biyadam, therefore the Torah was retained by them, in contrast to the Bnei Gavel. The Loi Daiki Lishna, who didn't pay close attention to the wording of the Torah that they were taught, this didn't allow them to employ this method. V'loi mas nechalu simanam, they weren't able to apply the simanim. As a result, they didn't have the proper tools to remember the Torah so well in the skaima terasam biyadam. Another reason for the discrepancy between the success of Bnei Yehuda versus the Bnei Gol, Bnei Yehuda gomer mechad rabo, learned the Torah from one Rebbe consistently in the skaima terasam biyadam. The Torah was retained. Bnei Gol de loy gomer mechad rabo. However, the Bnei Gol who didn't learn it just from one Rebbe, they had many Rabbeim, when the skaim to rasam biyadim, due to confusion and discrepancy in style and approach, the Torah was not retained properly in their hands. Now, Tosis points out, based on the Gemara of Dezora, actually, it is preferred to go learn from many rabbis. That the Gemara says, "Kol loy mitorah lefnei rav echad, ein roya siman bracha l'olam." It's not good to only learn from one rabbi. So Tosis says, "How does this work without Gemara?" He says, "It depends if we're speaking about the actual facts, the knowledge, the Mishnah, or the facts of the Gemara." We meant to stay with one rabbi, and that adds consistency to your learning. That's one style, that's one girsa, it avoids confusion. As opposed to the next level, which is svara, to delve and analyze into the meaning, into the svara of Torah. When it comes to that, it's actually better not to stay with one rebbe, rather go experience different approaches, different shitas, different positions, different ways of thinking and analyzing. That's actually better, enriches a person's intellect and his analytical abilities. So here we're speaking about just the facts, the Gemara. That we're meant to learn from one Rebbe, so things are clear and consistent without confusion. Ravina Amar, another reason for the success of Bnei Yehuda was as follows. Bnei Yehuda de Gol Masechta. They would teach the Masechta Torah to others, and Skyma to Rasam B'yadam. As a result of that, they were Zeicha to retain the Torah properly. Bnei Gol de Loi Gol Masechta, who did not teach their learning to others, like Skyma to Rasam B'yadam, they did not merit to retain the Torah properly. David HaMelech, Goli Masechta. He would teach Torah to others. Shaul HaMelech, no, like Goli Masechta, he wouldn't teach to others. What does it say as a result? David Goli Masechta, Ksiv Bei Yirei Echa, Yiruni V'Yismachu. Your fear of ones will see me and be happy. Because he had the ability to have clarity in Torah and to give Piskei Halacha in Torah. And this was as a result of his Siyata Shmaya, because he would teach Torah to others. Shaul Deloi Goli Masechta, in contrast to Shaul, who did not teach to others, he was not Zeich to the same level of learning. Ksivbei El Kol Asher Yifnei Yashir, wherever he turned, he was wicked. And Rashi learns that it just means that he was not Zeich to conclude with the same clarity as David HaMelech, and this was because he didn't get himself involved in teaching Torah to others. Continues more with one more aspect regarding Shaul HaMelech, which is actually a bit unrelated. Where do we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Shaul for the chait of Noivir HaKahan, who killed out? This was when Shaul communicated with Shmuel after Shmuel's death. He wanted to know whether he should go pursue the Plishtim and the Melchama. And Shmuel responded, "Tomorrow you're going to come to Olam Haba, you and your sons, together with me." So Imi, we learn Imi Mimchitzasi, together with me in my enclosure, meaning in Olam Haba. Apparently Hashem was Moichel Shaul HaMelech for his Aver. Continues the Gemara. Amar Ab Abba, Iika de Mishaluhu Levnei Yehuda. The Daiki Lishna. If there could be somebody that can go ask the people of Yehuda who were particular with the lashon, with the wording, we're going to ask them the following question. Our Mishnah says, "Ketzad ma'avrin sa'ar." We want to know whether ma'avrin tnan, we want to spell with an aleph like an aver, or ma'avrin tnan with an ayin like an expectant woman. We have another question for them. This is regarding a halacha in the Mishnah b'chayris. So they would take the b'chayr to check if he had a mum, and they would place him on the lower backside, and the Mishnah describes it as akuzoi, meshivin oisel akuzoi. The question is, how is that meant to be spelled? Akuzoi tnan with an aleph, or akuzoi tnan with an ayin? So we have these two questions regarding spelling, aleph ayin. So if somebody would go ask Ibn Yehuda, who's certainly a proficient with this detail, yadi, then we would know. Shilinu. So somebody went to ask them, Ba'amrile, and they told him, Ika de Tani Ma'abrin. Ika Tani Ma'abrin. It can go both ways. Some learn with an aleph, some learn with an ayin. That's pertaining to our Mishnah. Likewise, pertaining to the other question, Ika de Tani Akuzai. Ika Tani Akuzai. Some spell with an aleph, akuzai, and some with an ayin. Continues the Gemara. B'nei Yehuda the daiki lishnamai. So we mentioned that the people of Yehuda were exact with their addiction and with their choice of words. The woman would tell us that this wasn't only pertaining to matters of Torah, but they would conduct themselves in this manner even when it came to just worldly matters. And the woman actually would tell us that the Bnei Gadol, who would mumble and weren't so particular with their choice of words, would cause confusion, actually bring about some comical misunderstanding, as the Gemara soon will tell us. Okay, so let's see some examples. Bnei Yehuda the daiki lishnamai. What is an example of the Bnei Yehuda who were particular with their wording? Tahubar Yehuda, there was this fellow from Yehuda, the Amarlu, who announced to them, Talis Yeshi Limkar, I have this garment for sale. Amarles, they asked him, Ma Gavan Talischa, what color is it? Amarlu, he was very precise in his description, Kitshradin Aliadama, like the leaves of the beets above the ground, meaning it's not like the beet in the ground, which is not green, but the leaves of beets, which are still connected to the ground. So it's a very specific shade of green. He's very exact and precise in his description of the color of his garment. So that's the Bnei Yehuda. In contrast to the Bnei Golot, the Loidaiki, the Lishna, they weren't very exact and precise in their articulation. Mai, what is an example of such? Tahubar Glila, there was this fellow from Gol. Tava Ka'azel, he was walking along, but Amrullah, and he announced like this. Amar Laman, Amar Laman. He wanted to purchase an Amar. Now, due to the fact that he was mumbling and didn't speak clearly, they didn't hear clearly what he was trying to say. Amrullah, so they told him, Glila Shoita, you foolish fellow from Gol. Do you mean Chamar? Because Amar could sound like Chamar. Chamar Lemirkov? You want to purchase a donkey to ride on it? Or Chamar Lemishti? Or some wine to drink? Amar Lemilbash? Some wool to wear? A imar liskasa, or perhaps a lamb to shecht. Hay itza, there was this woman, the boy lemeim lechaverta. She wanted to be gracious and invite her friend over for a drink of milk. So she wanted to say, shlufti, my friend, toi do'ich lechalba. I'm going to come and I will give you some chalba, some milk to drink. Instead, she said, amrla, shluchti, which doesn't mean anything, toich lech lovi. Lovi is a female lion, should devour you, should eat you up. So, it sounded pretty scary. Just the fact that she didn't bother expressing her words clearly. Hay itza d'asil kameh d'dayna. There was this woman who approached a dayan. And she was complaining about her tray, a large size tray, which was stolen from her. So, Amrullah, she told him. She wanted to tell him like this. She had a mind to say, Rashi explains, kiri with a kuf, meaning my master. I had a tavla, a tray, and the gunvuch, min, it was stolen from me, and it was so large in size. This is how it was. A kedoy havas, that if I would go ahead and lie on it, my feet wouldn't reach the ground. So this is what she had in mind, but instead she mumbled and she came across very unclear. Amrullah, she told him like this, Mari Kiri. Kiri actually says the Lashon of Eved, my servant. So she's addressing the judge in a disrespectful manner. Tafla, instead of Tavla, which is a tree. Tafla, obviously, had this beam. The Gonvuch Min, which sounds like they stole you. The Kadoy Havis, instead of saying the Kadan Havis, this is what it was. Kadoy, now it was. So she's just sowing confusion here. The kad shadru loch iluyah, if they would put you, hang you, she's speaking to the judge, on this tray, which again is disrespectful, limati karcha'ari, your feet wouldn't reach the ground. So, she didn't articulate her words clearly, and she created confusion and lack of respect. Says the Gemara, amasa devei Rebbe. So this maidservant in the home of Rebbe, who is quoted actually several times in the Gemara, she apparently was a wise woman. Kavas mishtayi b'lashon chacham. When she would speak in a lashon of chachmam, amrahach, she would say as follows. So apparently there were guests, talmidim, who were eating in the house of Rebbe, and when there was no wine left, she would say like this: alas is the pitcher which is sitting in the barrel, nakvas is already banging, bekad on the bottom of the barrel, meaning there's no wine left. Yidun nishraya lekinein, the eagles should go back to their nests. Marshall explains that she was trying to send them a message to go home, meal's over. So she chose these words in order to convey the message in an indirect and diplomatic way, in a respectful way. Because I've buried the lace fun when she wanted them to stay there, to sit further. Hava amrlu, she would tell them, Ya'adi basa chaverta mina, that the lid on top of chaverta should be removed from it. Meaning we're going to open a new barrel, v'siskefi alas bekat, and as a result, the alas, the pitcher, will float inside this barrel, ki'ilfa da'agl b'yama, like a ship floating in the ocean. So yadi basar chaverta mina means, yadi means we're going to remove basar, the lid chaverta, from its friend, from the next barrel, mina, from it, in order to allow the meal to continue. Now, there's another pshat in the Gemara here, another gersa, that learns that she was actually addressing the host, Rebbe. She didn't want them to understand, so she would ask him, look, there's the pitcher which is hit the bottom of the barrel. Would you like to continue? Would you like to send them home? Or would you like us to open another barrel so that the thing will float again? And they can go ahead and stick around. And the Gersa according to that is that Rebbe would respond to her, no, let's remove another lid from the next barrel. So according to this approach, the reason why she spoke in cryptic language is that they shouldn't understand what she was trying to say. Okay, so she spoke in Lashon Chachma, in wise language, picking the right choice of words to convey her message. Rabbi Yisrael bar Asyan, ki ava mishtoi b'Lashon Chachma, when he wanted to speak in a Lashon of Chachma, Rashi says so that others don't understand. Omar, he said like this. Prepare my food as follows. Asu li shor v'mishpat. Prepare for me a shor, an ox. V'mishpat, in judgment. So, shor in Aramaic is tor. V'mishpat can mean also din. So what it meant was trodden. Trodden are beats. So prepare for me shor v'mishpat, which is just another way of saying trodden, tordin, beats. Bitur miskin. Tur is a mountain in Aramaic. Tur in Hebrew is har, a mountain. Miskin, poor. So another word for poor is dal. So bitur miskin means behardal. Prepare for me beets in mustard. V'kadav v'shol b'shpiza. When Rabbi Yisi wanted to ask for advice regarding a specific host, Amar Hachi, so he used cryptic language so that it's not understood by all. He spoke in a riddle form. He wanted to know whether the Ushpiza is of any good. So he said like this. He referred to the word Ushpiza with the following words, a compilation of the following words. Gvar means a man, so it's Ish, beginning of the word Ushpiza. Gvar is Ish. Pum, a mouth. So Pi, so Ushpi. Dain, this. So Ushpi Zu. So that's how he got to the word Ushpiza, in a riddle form. I want to know if this host is Chai. He's alive, meaning, is he good? And in reference to his wife, he said, Mazu Toi V'yesh, does she have any good? This is his way of asking, inquiring as to the quality of a specific hotel. When he spoke in a Lashon of Chachma, he said like this, Hava Amar Hachi, Asrigulu Pachamin. Get the pacham and the coals, all worked up, all red, like the esrig. Fire up the coals. Arkil is a oven. Spread out the coals, which were colored gold, gold coals. So prepare the coals. Vasuli shnei magidei balata. And prepare for me two chickens. Magidei means they inform balata. In the darkness, they indicate the changeover between night and day. So this was his way of asking them to prepare for him two roasted chickens. Igadami, another version was, V'yasuli bahen, prepare for me in them and those coals, Shnei magide balata, two of these chickens. Amulei Rabbanan Rabavo. the Talmidim approached Rabbi Avo with the following request. Hatzpi Neinu, can you show us Heichan Rabbi Loi Tzafon? Where Rabbi Loi is hiding out, we can't find him. Amar Lehan, he told him, you know why you can't find him? Because he's actually catching up on some sleep. He was up late into the night. Why? Olatz Benara, he was joyous with Einar Aharoinis. Aharoinis, Iranis, Venirasai. This is a cryptic response to which the Gemara has two approaches. Amri La Isha, some say he was referring to an Isha who kept him up, Va'amri La Masechta. Some say it was a Masechta that kept him up. So according to the version that it was an Isha, this is what he meant to say. Olatz Benara, he was joyous with a young woman, Aharoinis. A Kehenes, a descendant of Aaron HaKohen, Acharoinis, who's actually his second wife, Iranis. She was a sharp woman, Vinirasi, and due to her sharpness, she kept him up. They were engaged in deep, meaningful conversations. So this is according to the approach that it was an Isha that kept him up. V'amil Masechta. Some say that he's referring to a Masechta. So what he meant to say was, Olatz Benara. He was joyous with a Nara young woman, which is a mashal to a Masechta in Torah. Which Masechta was it? Aharoinis. It was from Seder Kochim, which contains the halachas of Karbonis, pertaining to Aaron HaKohen and his descendants. Aharoinis was actually the second Masechta that he was learning that night, Iranis, a sharp Masechta, and Irasai, which kept him up. So it's either the Masechta or the Isha. You know, I once read a letter that Rabbi Kiviga wrote after his wife's passing. He was so heartbroken, and it was in response to a person who suggested a shidduch to him. And he responded very sharply. He says, how could you even suggest something like this? In this moment, I'm so broken. My wife just passed away. I'm in mourning. We were so close. And he writes that they used to have such meaningful discussions. They used to conduct these deep conversations late into the night. He says, you know, I miss her so much. How could you even entertain the concept of remarriage? So eventually he overcame. He remarried. I think he married his wife's sister. So that's the Isha that kept him up late into the night. So it's either the Isha or the Masechta that he's referring to. Continues the Gemara. Amrilei, little Biloi. So this time the Talmidim asked Rabbi Loi, Hatzpinenu, can you show us Heichan Rabbi Avo Tzafon? Where's Rabbi Avo hiding? We want to try to find him. Amar Lehan, he told them, he's actually located elsewhere. Nisiyaitz v'machter, he went to get rishus, to get permission, to get smicha from the Nasi, who is referenced as the machter. Machter is a lashon of keser, a crown. So the Nasi would endow, would grant permission for a person to be called a Rebbe. He would give smicha. So Rebbe Vo received smicha. And then he went to the Chachamim v'hingif. When he got the smicha here, he went south. So hingiv means he went negev south, to spend time with the other chachamim. And the chachamim, the people in Zikne, in Dorim, are great chachamim, and that's why they're called mefiboshes, because mefiboshes was actually also a great wise man, a big chacham. Continues the Gemara. Omer Meshua ben Chananya, mi yomai, my entire life, lo nitzchani adam, nobody was victorious against me when it came to debate and conversation. He was very talented when it came to conducting debates against the heretics, etc. So despite his great talent, and nobody was ever menatzeach me, nobody ever prevailed against me, except for three times. Chutz mi'isha tinek v'tinekes. Three times it happened that I was won over. So Ben Yehuda explains that he was being humble, despite my great capacity and my debating abilities, I was won over three times. Isha mai. What is the story with the Isha? Who won him over? Pamachas nesarachti etzach sanya achas. I was once a guest at a certain place. So she prepared for me as follows. Asasali pulin, she prepared for me beans. First day I ate them, v'lishyatim and klum. I didn't leave anything over. Shnia, the second day, same thing happened. I ate it, v'lishyatim and klum, and I completed the entire portion. B'yom shlishi, on the third day, it so happens that hikdichasim amelach. She added too much salt, she burnt it, it was inedible. Kimishatamti, I took one taste, mashach the other mehem, I pulled away from it. Amar li Rebbe, so she asked me, Rebbe mipnei ma in chasoid? Why are you not eating? Amarti lo, so I responded, I didn't want to insult her, I said, kfar sa'adi b'idyoim, I already ate today. Amar li, so she told me, ha'ilacha limshech yadecha ma'apas. So you should have avoided the bread. Why do you avoid the main dish? Amar li, so then she said, well, maybe there's something here. Rebbe, shema lo hinachta peh b'rishonim. Perhaps the reason why you're not eating is because you neglected to leave some food over during the previous days, which is meant to be proper practice. V'leika ha'amu ha'chamim, haven't the Chacham told us as follows, Eima shayrin peh b'ilfis, the servant who pours the food from the pot into the bowl doesn't leave anything over in the pot for himself. Avol m'shayrin peh b'kar, but the guest is meant to leave something over in the bowl to serve the servant. So perhaps that's why you left some over now. You refrain from eating altogether because you remember that you have neglected this halacha. You didn't leave anything over in the previous days. So now you're making up for those days. So Rabbi Shimon Hananya conceded defeat. Yeah, she was right. He was meant to leave some over from his food for the Shams. What is the story with the Tinoiket, the young girl? Tinoiket is my. I was once walking along the road. This road, this path was going right through a privately owned field. I was walking along. This young Tinoiket told me, Rebbe, isn't this a field that you're traversing? What right do you have to go through a privately owned field? I told her, isn't this a trodden path? It's a public access way. What's the problem? She told me, list him. Robbers just like you trotted upon this path and trampled it and made it into a pathway. It doesn't justify things. It's privately owned. You're not meant to walk here. So she prevailed. What is the story of the young boy? I was once walking along the road and approaching a city. I noticed this young boy sitting at the crossroads. And I asked him, Beiza derech nelech leir? What's the way to get to the city? Amar li, he says you have a choice between two. Zu k'tzar v'arucha. This route is short, but it's very long. So we're going to see what he meant. He meant that it's short distance, but it's convoluted. It won't get you to the city. V'zu, however, the other road is arucha. So as far as the distance, it's longer. U'k'tzar, but it's actually shorter because it's a more direct route. It will get you to the city. This is what he meant. But Rabbi Shua didn't probably understand his intention. So I walked on the first one, which was Ktsara. I figured, short route, why not? So indeed it was a short route. It got me right near the city, but once I got to the city, I saw it was inaccessible, impassable. And I see the city surrounded with gardens, orchards, no way to get through. I went back. And I went over to the child and said, Bni, hello, you're Martili, Ktsara. Didn't you tell me that it was a short route? Look, I couldn't get to the city. Amarli, so he told him, but didn't I tell you, Arucha? I said, Ktsara, but then I added, Ktsara v'Arucha. This is what I had in mind. Yeah, it looks short and convenient. But then you get stuck. You weren't meant to take that route. Rather, you should have taken the one which is Arucha, which is long, but Tzara, it gets you to the city. So, Rabbi Shua ben Hananya was very impressed with his wisdom. I was so proud of him. I gave him a kiss on his head. Although he won me over, but I was so full of pride, I gave him a kiss. So, Martilei, and I told him, Ashreichem Yisrael. Fortunate are you, Kal Yisrael, Shekulchem Chacham Gdeil Matem. You're all great, wise people. From your eldest down to your youngest. So although he conceded defeat, he won him over. But he was so proud of him and he gave him a kiss. You know, there was once a story with the Ruggish of a Goyen, Yosef Rozhin, from the town of Dvinsk, who was a Rav in the town alongside Ramiya Simcha of Dvinsk, the Arsameach. So Arsameach was a Rav of the non-Hasidic committee, and the Ruggish of a Goyen, who was a a master of Kol Torah Kula, and also very sharp. He was a Rav of the Hasidim. So the story was that he was once sitting by Shalosh Shudas in Shul, and he was giving the drasha, and he quoted a pasuk. And from the back, suddenly a voice rings out, a voice of a young boy, and he says, "Rebbe, es steht nicht a pasuk verkehrt? Doesn't it say in the pasuk differently than you quoted?" Everybody turned around in shock. The sincere brazenness of this young child, all of 6 years old. And the Rogatchava pointed him to come up front. And the boy slowly makes his way up to the front, and everybody's quivering. Rogatchava was known as a very sharp, sharp person. The boy makes his way up to the Rav, and he comes in beside him. The Rav turns to him, bends down, gives him a kiss on his forehead. And shocked him already. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yosi Aglili have a ka'azal b'urcha. He was traveling on the road. Ashechel Bruria. He encountered Bruria, who was the wife of Rameir. Amala. So he asked her for directions. Be'eze derech ne'echel Lud. What's the road for us to go to Lud? Which way to Lud? Amala, so she told him. So he used four words, right? He said, Be'eze derech ne'echel Lud. So she told him, Glili, shaita, you foolish fellow from Galil. Like hacham, hacham, nin hacham, teach us. Al tar besicham isha. One is not meant to engage in excess conversation with a woman. Why did you use four words to ask the question? You should have been more concise. That's all you need to say. Self-understood that you're asking for directions. So, use too many words. This is consistent with what we said earlier. The Bnei Yehudu are very precise and exact in their wording, in contrast to Bnei Gol. Continues the Gemara. Bruya ashkachte lau talmida. Bruya, the same woman, encountered this Talmud of a Kugaris Belechisha, who was learning, but quietly. Bachabe, she kicked towards him. Amalei, she told him, Leikach Kosov, doesn't the Pasuk say, Arucha Bakolu Shmur? The Torah is set and organized. It is safeguard. What does this mean? Im Arucha Baramach Ivorim Shalcha Mishtameres. If it's embedded and absorbed and organized within your 248 Ivorim, meaning you invest your effort and your energy in Torah, you articulate it, you express it in words, mishtameres, it will be safeguarded. Vimla, but otherwise, you just sit there and mumble and whisper, eina mishtameres, you won't retain the Torah. You won't have the shmirah. You'll forget it. You're meant to learn expressing the words out loud. Okay, so in summary, we learned about the city's municipal boundaries. We're meant to extend it up until the protrusion, and then from there, go ahead and create the tchum. We proceeded with several machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. Number one, ketad ma'abr nisa'arn. Is it spelled with an ayin, like Isha ubara, expectant woman? Or is it ma'abrin with an aleph, the limbs of the city? Marasa machpela is called machpela due to the fact that it was a double-tiered cave, or due to the fact that there were many couples buried within it. Vahib me'am rafal. Was that his real name? Was it really Nimrod? Was it a new melech or the same old pari who pretended not to know Yosef? He just renewed his gzeiros and made them strict and severe against Klal Yisrael. We learned from Rabbi Yochanan that there's a tremendous gap between the abilities of the former generations and our generation. We learned about the Bnei Yehuda, who paid close attention to the words of the Torah they learned from their Rebbe. This allowed them to retain it properly, to attach simanim, to commit it to long-term memory. We learned about the Bnei Yehuda who were careful in their articulation and their diction, whether when it pertained to Divrei Torah or even worldly matters. We had the story of Rabbi Shoban Hananya, who conceded that there was an Isha, a Tinuka Tanaikis, who won him over. We concluded with two stories of Bruria, the wife of Rameir. In the first case, she opined that Reisa Glili spoke too much. In the second case, that the Talmud was speaking too little. In order to truly retain the Torah, you have to express it. If it's embedded and absorbed throughout the entire body, the person invests his energy and his whole body into his Torah, then it gets properly absorbed and fused within him. Mishtameres, it's safeguarded within him.